Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us. Today, my guest is Chaya Godrez, who has a fascinating background. She's Israeli. She's a therapist and a healer, and we'll be talking with her in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I was wondering what I was going to talk about, and I was having a phone conversation with my good friend Frank, and we got to talking about, I don't even remember how we got there, but we were talking about how if somebody believes the earth is flat, it really doesn't affect a whole lot in their lives at all, unless they happen to be an astrophysicist or something where it's critical. But they can drive their car, have their family, do their job, do everything else. Having this bit of information that they believe to be true, which is incorrect and does not accurately describe the circumstances of the physical world. But the truth is you can have a lot of incorrect beliefs and go through life with those beliefs and not have it affect very much. And I have this kind of ongoing frustration, I guess is the best word, that there is not more scientific curiosity about non-ordinary reality, about the kinds of things that we talk about here. If indeed people have been describing these phenomena all over the planet in every culture throughout recorded history, some of that recorded history going back 6,000 years and in temple drawings and other things more than 9,000 years, consistently describing the same phenomena and talking about working with those phenomena in the same way, why is that not a cause for science to go, there's something going on here, we don't know what it is, but we really need to know about this? And one of the reasons for that is what we're seeing that's called scientific consensus when there's the discussion of global warming, for example. Once it was decided that the best point of view and the best point of view financially was to say that global warming or climate change was caused by human beings, all of the voices of scientists who had data and experience that say that that is incorrect got marginalized, were no longer given speaking slots at conferences, couldn't get grants, and basically their voices were pushed aside. And that happens in all kinds of things. It happens in politics, it happens in science, it happens in other things. And it ends the conversation until something dramatic happens, and then people go, oh, yeah, wait a minute, there is another point of view here. So saying that there's a scientific consensus is kind of like saying it's common sense. You know, everybody believes this, but what do we really know? If you think about some of the most basic things that Albert Einstein came up with 100 years ago, most people really don't get it. Einstein was the one who said that energy and physical matter are equivalent, that energy and matter in some way are the same thing, that matter is condensed energy, if you want to put it that way, that light, which is a vibration and a stream of energy as a vibration, is also a stream of particles, and that you don't see the particles unless you're looking for particles. If you're looking for a vibration, you'll find a vibration. But until you know that there are particles there and you create an observation based on looking for particles, you won't see them. It's there. Now, most people, when you tell them all that stuff, they kind of nod their head up and down, and they really can't wrap their heads around it's both a stream of vibration or energy and a stream of particles. It just doesn't make common sense. And yet, that's the nature of physical reality, and that information is over 100 years old, not well integrated into the knowledge of the general population. not well understood. The ramifications are not well understood except by scientists. But here we are with a really basic thing about the structure of our physical world, and most people don't understand it. So for those of us that deal with what's being called in the scientific community, and there is a scientific community studying this stuff. Dean Radin at the Institute of Noetic Sciences is one of the leading authorities in the United States about the hard science of extrasensory perception, of all kinds of phenomena that are not physical phenomena, and coming up with ways to scientifically confirm them. And he said, the last time I heard him speak, that there are about 100 scientists all over the planet that are studying non-ordinary reality. In the United States, there are about half a dozen. That means that that information, even though it's in the scientific journals and it's there are conferences where the papers are presented, is not known to most people, to most scientists. They still haven't heard that there is confirmation of these phenomena. And if you don't know that it's there, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know that you don't know what you don't know, it might as well not exist. But nonetheless, the phenomena are persistent. There are ways of studying them. There is consistent anecdotal data and, to a certain extent, consistent empirical observation. But scientific curiosity kind of stops at the edge of it, because it's outside of the normal set of beliefs that they work with that has to do with what could exist. Well, we don't know a whole lot about that energy side of Einstein's equation, the energy side versus the matter side of E equals MC squared. We don't really understand that. We have sort of rumors about dark energy and dark matter, and there's some science around that. But until there's either new approaches or new ways of measuring or understanding what's going on so they can develop the measuring devices, this stuff will be difficult to understand. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that it can't be studied. But it's outside of what typically is acceptable to study. So one of the things that I hope for people that are skeptical or people that have a scientific mindset that will come out of all these conversations is the idea that there's something going on here. Something going on here that's been reported for a very, very long time that many, many people have run across in their lives but typically won't talk about because they don't want to be called crazy. But everybody, most people have either a personal experience or know someone who's had a personal experience with something that just is very different from normal reality. So as we move forward with this and more people are willing to talk about it, we will see an expansion of knowledge at a very rapid rate because suddenly it'll be okay to study it. So that's my metaphysical musing for the evening. If you want to hear more about me and contact me, go to househealing.com and you can click on the Ask David link. And if you ask me a cool question, it could be next week's metaphysical musing. So, this evening, we have as our guest, Haya Gutierrez, and I think I'll let her introduce herself because she's got such an interesting background. Haya, are you there?
I'm here.
And I know Haya because she lives not far from me, and I'm familiar with her work personally. Haya is from Israel. She's a therapist and a healer, and she does some really fascinating things. How would you describe it? 25 words or less.
Well, I call myself health educator after lots of mind bending to try to figure out how I describe myself. Often people call and say, what do you do? And that puts me sort of like, well, I do a little bit of everything, what's necessary. What I do really is seeing people. Often I get to see people after they've been all over with famous people all over the country and they're still really stuck. And I usually sit with them and look at them and get tons of information just by that process and chat with them. And my main, at this point, it has evolved over time. My main way of working at this point is trying to figure out for myself first what is the emotional and or spiritual stuckness the person hold, and how it expresses itself in the physical body, and give them the physical support, nutritional, blood tests, deficiencies, genetic, all that stuff. But while doing that, actually depends on the person's openness, which I check out very carefully in the beginning of the meeting with the person, point out to them the other piece, and gradually trying to twist their perspective, so to look at things differently. And again, as I said, I think in my introduction, my basic model is using the Course of Miracles. And what I mean by that is I want the person not to feel guilty. They have to feel empowered, and I would like them to open their heart. So they forgive themselves and they begin to forgive people and the environment and start the healing process. So that's basically what I do, and I use any tool. It could be energy healing, in addition to nutritional, which is like the face presentation. Nutrition healing, Reiki, psychotherapy, and many other things as they come in the moment. I usually take lots of time in the beginning. It's about 2 hours when I sit with a person and just really chat to find out the details of what's going on. This first session is where I get all the information. When I just started working, I used to give people the whole song and dance, and they just would get overwhelmed. So now I do it in little pieces, but I get the information in that first time. Sometimes just telling jokes and nonsense, because that's when people open up. And also allow them to not come back if they don't find what they do is okay, and let them know they can come in 2 years, in 10 years, tomorrow, whenever they feel they want more of it.
Right. Now, you have a unique advantage in doing your work because you work with your husband, who who is a physician, so that you can get the blood tests, get some other things which only a physician can do, especially when there are psychological problems.
Right.
And that, as you described it to me, is called functional medicine.
Right. It's, often people come after they've been to a lot of specialists. And unfortunately, specialists just see one facet of the problem. So if you have a cardiovascular problem, just look at the cardiovascular picture. You have thyroid problems, just look into the thyroid. If they have some immune issues, just... And the body is not isolated. The body is one functioning system. And often... you get the key information from looking at the whole picture. And having Bruce, my husband, next door and able to prescribe blood tests that usually most regular physicians don't use or don't know how to read, and they get the results. So they don't use it. So we kind of really do a very comprehensive evaluation of the person, just really to see where the body got stuck. But in my book, it's not the end of the road, just the beginning of the journey.
Right. And I know you use that approach for everything from depression to cholesterol to all manner of different things, just
right.
looking for the underlying causes and imbalances that are affecting everything, and the symptom is just a marker for those imbalances.
totally. And sometimes there are certain symptoms that pop up almost characteristically. I'll give you an example. I can go and walk on the street or go to a conference and then run into a person, look at the person and say, oh boy, this person was abused as a child. And sometimes, I usually very straightforward, so sometimes I go knock on their shoulder and say, that's what you need to do, that's your problem. And they look at me and say, how do you know? I say, I just look at you. And usually what you get is somebody who has digestive problems, emaciated, no matter what they do. And this particular way to mend it, you know, so that, oh, that's what you need to look into it, that's what you do. And it usually turns people around. And, you know, I have people that I don't hesitate to just go and tell people, you know, I think you have this problem.
Right, right. And I know you do some very unusual testing and get some very amazing results with it. I just want to switch gears for a minute now that people have an idea of we'll come back to the kind of work you do because it's fascinating. I love talking about it. But you also have a very unusual background in that you were born in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want me to talk about that?
Yeah. I don't think most people have any sense of what it's like in Israel or, you know, what life is like there. And that's where you met Bruce. I mean, there are other reasons to tell the story. But.
Yeah. Well, I grew up actually in very unique circumstances. I grew up on a kibbutz, which is sort of communal society where you grow with your age group and you go visit your parents only in the afternoon for what they call family time. It has changed since in the recent years, but that's how we grew up. So our parents were our afternoon family time, but we really did spend all the time with our peer group. So it had its own unique characteristics. We had a lot of responsibilities. It was also a farming community, so we had to work from early age. And God forbid you wouldn't work well, so you learn to be tough. I was a very outgoing baby or little kid, a toddler, what have you. And when I was about 3 years old, I broke my leg extensively, multiple fractures from top to bottom, and had to be in bed bound for almost half a year. And because of the setup with the kids, were all together, I couldn't be with the kids because they were busy doing other things. They didn't have manpower to just sit with me in the room. So I ended up being in my parents' house, which was extremely unusual, but my parents had to work. So I stayed there all by myself. We didn't have television. We didn't have toys. All we had was the radio. The basic public radio things. Mm-hmm. And that was it, the daily newspaper. So so I spent a lot of time with myself, probably learning to meditate or something, because I really changed afterwards. From outgoing extrovert, I became a very introverted person, and I taught myself to read because there's nothing else I could do from the newspaper. And that's it, you know. It was a... Thinking back, I don't think anybody would do it today. But I spent mm-hmm. most of the day by myself. So that was interesting, to say the least. Go ahead.
No, I just was going to kind of steer you in the direction of everybody in Israel is trained and serves for a period of time in the military, which is very different from what goes on here. So that's a part of everybody's life there.
Right. My army service, again, was somewhat unique. I volunteered to do what is called adult education. So after basic training, which everybody does the same thing, you know, you learn all the basic skills and whatever, you learn how to be in the army. I actually would walk from house to house in neighborhoods of immigrants, mostly from North Africa. like Tunisia, Morocco, Egypt, Iran, all those places, where the women had no education, the men had very little, and basically teach them in small groups to read, write, count, read prices. It was a very interesting process because I would come with my uniform, but we had etiquette. We had to drink whatever they offered us. We had to eat whatever they offered us, because they would get very offended. But it was a very interesting thing, you know, work with people from Yemen, from Morocco, from Tunisia, all kinds of places. It was quite an interesting experience. So that's what I did in my army service. Before my army service, after I broke my leg, I became very sickly. I was, for many years, probably the sickest kid on earth. Every illness that existed out there, I got me. And I think by seeing doctors and the medical systems so much, even though it was very minimal, like we didn't have antibiotic and we didn't have a lot of stuff that we're talking about the 50s, in the States it was available, but we didn't have it. So I think when I was about third grade, I decided I want to become a doctor. Just because I wanted to be, looking back, I wanted to be a healer, but the only concept of a healer I had at the time was a physician. And that's the only thing I knew. It took me many years later to realize, not many actually, when I was about 18 or so, I realized that it wasn't quite what I had in mind. And that's also, anyway.
So was there a common language for all those people? Did they all speak Hebrew when they came?
Oh, yeah, everybody spoke Hebrew. Most of the people I worked with were people who had been there for some time. They had children. Some of them had grandchildren. They had been there for some time. They all spoke the language. You have to realize that people who are religious, and most of those people had some sort of traditional religion, not very orthodox, but kind of traditional approach. They all knew some Hebrew. They came with it.
Right.
So
right.
I really needed to teach them some of the basic modern approach to things. Like a big issue, for example, was a contraceptive, because the women kept talking about it, and we were not allowed to say anything about it. And here I'm a young person, and they are, like, much older, but I'm in uniform. So I'm supposed to know a lot of things. It came up a lot. We had all kinds of regulations, how we are allowed and not allowed to talk about it.
Interesting. Interesting what issues come up.
Well, so. I tell you, I had a lot of things. The issue was that you couldn't alienate the men.
Right.
Because if you alienated the man, it wouldn't be allowed to come in.
Right. And those are probably the same issues in traditional cultures all over the world right now. It probably hasn't changed very much.
Yeah, like people who go to Africa today probably have very similar issues when they go into the village.
Right. Well, we have just a couple of minutes before the break. When we come back, I want to talk more about all the fascinating alternative treatments that you know about. You're kind of a clearinghouse and direct people come to you to be directed to other kinds of things. So you know all kinds of stuff that most people have not heard about. I want to hear more than that. The other thing we'll do after the break is give out the call-in number so people that are listening can join the conversation and ask us questions. And I hope there are some people out there lurking and listening to us in real time. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes here on Empower Radio with Chaya Godarez on The Farkas Files.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard.
Oh, your backyard. Try telling a bear that.
I did, and this bear talked back.
Talking bear, that's rich.
No, wait, it was Smokey Bear.
Smokey?
Why didn't you say so?
I did say so.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
No, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
And as always, he's right. You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Yeah, I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually, thanks to Smokey.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Get your Smokey on. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome to the Maya Miguel Challenge. Meet Maya and the gang.
Oh, hi, I'm Maya.
Maya and her friends want you to get up and play, because it's always more fun to be active.
There's mountain biking, boating and fishing, mountain climbing and spelunking. Let's get started.
Get ready to take the Maya and Miguel Challenge.
Let's see.
Just go to letsmove.gov and look for Maya and Miguel. You'll find tons of fun activities that'll help keep you healthy and active. Muy activo. You can also check out healthy recipes to try with your family, play cool games, and get free downloads. So come hang out with Maya, Miguel, and the whole gang.
Go!
Remember, whether you play sports, run, dance, or jump in place, just get up and play at least an hour a day. And don't forget, eat healthy to be your best. Maya and Miguel will show you how at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and the Department of
Hey
Health
parents,
and Human
finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Haya Gutierrez, who has been telling us fascinating stories of her pretty amazing life. So I know that you're kind of the switching station, communicator, connector for people to find other kinds of healing modalities that they may not have otherwise been able to find. Are there some of those that, well, before we do that, let's give out the phone number for people to call it. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Give us a call. Ask us a question. So, Haya, what are some of those other things that you have access to that most people don't know about?
Well, there are a lot of them.
I know.
Well, it's interesting. There are a lot of alternative modalities out there, but not all the practitioners are really, in my opinion, really sophisticated or high quality. Just because you learn something doesn't make you good at it. In most of those things, there's an aspect of being an artist, the fine points. And I make it my point. For one thing, I never recommend or send to anybody I haven't tried myself. That's my policy. I go try it myself, and I do the same evaluation of the person as I do on the client, and really see if the person is a really good, sophisticated, know what he/she is doing, and go from there. The other thing is that I feel, like you said, that I can do a lot of the stuff, but it's not for me to do it all, and I don't feel territorial towards people. In other words, somebody comes to me and there's somebody who can do something for that person better than I do. I'll full-heartedly send them there because I think that's the best I can do for that person. So there are a bunch of different things I usually recommend people to do. Sometimes I use it as a diagnostic, additional diagnostic tool. For example, I use a lot of a couple of people that do acupressure. But there are many people who do acupressure. But sometimes if I want to understand what the neurological pathway the person got stuck with, what age the trauma was, sometimes they don't remember, I have certain people I send them to and I say, go there, I think you can get help. And if they, it's okay with them, I ask them to give me the report of that first visit. And sometimes I work with the other practitioner at the same time, and sometimes that's where they go, and that's where they get the help, and I may not see them for another year or two or ever. Another thing, there's some alternative healers that develop their own methods, and they're not really... on the surface, they're not really advertising themselves, partly because it's very alternative, partly because it may be very controversial. And I don't hesitate to send people their way and say, check it out, see for yourself, maybe what you need to do. Often people ask me, how do you know all those people? And I can't sit down here and describe all of them because they really range from the weirdest to the weirdest. But I have a policy that if I, you know, and what happens once you start doing it, people give you names of lots of people because they hope you're going to promote them. And I don't do that. I really follow my intuition. And if I get somebody's name, I almost immediately know if that person is somebody I really need to check out for myself first. And again, it works on the intuition level. And then I check the person out, but I would check everybody out. Everybody that I get a name for and I get the sense or the intuition to check out, I'll go and check them out. And I'll check them out all the way. I'll let them work on me. I'll chat with them. I'll do whatever. And then I send people to them if it's appropriate. I had a very interesting incident once. There was a woman who came to me a long time ago as a referral from a friend. That friend was a masseuse, a very fine neurological masseuse. And she had a client that just was really weird. She didn't know what was going on. She sent it to me, and the woman comes in, and I sit with her. And she talks very slowly. Something going on. It was obviously something seriously neurological going on. So I called Bruce in, my husband, and I said, I think you need to look at her. She is in your department. At that, within half an hour, we connected her with a neurologist who saw her the next few days, diagnosed a major brain tumor, and she had surgery. They found the tumor the size of an orange in her head, and it was quite major, but she recovered, and when she recovered, she became very psychic and a big healer. It's almost like her whole life shifted. And so she started to try to give sessions and stuff, but she was kind of weird. She had a lot of issues to work out before she was a clean person, and she wanted me to promote her, which I was very careful not to do, really, until she gets her act together. And then another client I had ran into her and wanted to do a session with her. She had Lyme, and she thought that she can cure her, which I didn't think she could. And I connected that other client to somebody else, told her she couldn't, and she stopped going to her. So I get the call. She's very upset. How come I tell her that she's not the right person? I have to watch her back. We all have to do it. And I said, no, I only promote people or I suggest the person that I think can help. I am not going to do that you are the person just because we are both in alternative field. And she was really, really upset. And I realized there's a lot of lack of integrity in the field that I just don't subscribe to it. Just a sense how I work. But a lot of people do a lot of things, you know, from extraterrestrial healers, you know, like to all for people who get the information from guides and have some incredible tools. The people who are just really, really good at what they're doing. It could be massage, it could be acupressure, it could be neurological evaluation. Really try to pick the best. We are lucky that where we live, there are lots of them in the general area. Right?
Definitely. It's an amazing area for alternative practitioners, and I'm very proud that I'm one of the people that you refer to.
Yeah, the same with you. You know, I would send people to you because I think you can help them. And sometimes we do work together. Some situation where we have people who are supposedly schizophrenic or something and voices and stuff like that or some other traumas that they need your piece of work. And it's interesting to work together.
It's been fascinating, and it's exciting for me to get some of those people to work with, because you've done a workup, Bruce has done a workup, so I have a different kind of confirmation when we see what the effects of my work is.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff. So if somebody who listens to this show and does not live in the area is interested in your approach, can you help them if they
yes.
don't live in the area?
Yeah, it depends what the issue is, but I have worked with people in England, in Canada, in Israel, without ever seeing them or see the mm-hmm. picture. So, yes, I do that. If they have a serious physical problem, it's a good idea to see them once, because I get incredible amount of information from seeing the actual person.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not the physical information, but whatever I need to get, I get in that context. So sometimes with kids, for example, I don't do that. I work with a whole bunch of babies all over the country, and I use the mother's description to figure it out. It's just to drag babies long distances. It's a big challenge. I have a soft point for little kids. So, but I do on the phone. If they have a physician or alternative person they work with that's open to suggestions, that's helpful. So they can do this big piece of the work with their people while I give them some guidance. Or I connect them with particular people and they take it from there.
Yeah. So just to give people an idea, Haya and I both live in Western Massachusetts. Haya's office is in Hadley, Massachusetts, which is in the Amherst, Northampton area, to give you an idea who's local and who's long distance. I'm going to give out the number again if there are people that want to call in. It's 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474. So do you have a particular case that would be a good illustration of the process and the outcomes that people might expect?
Oh, boy, I have to think about it, right? Can you give me a more specific kind of idea what you're looking for?
Well, somebody comes in either to you or to Bruce, depending on which person they connect with, whether they were looking for a physician or heard about you. And let's say they have cholesterol issues or some other specific thing. I find the whole functional medicine approach really fascinating. So maybe cholesterol is a good...
Well, cholesterol, it's a good thing. There's one of the things that both of us do, somewhat parallel and somewhat separately, we are really following the literature. The amount of information that comes out now in regards to functional medicine, which means not just medical pharmaceutical stuff, but understanding how the body functions, it's amazing. And it really takes diligence to keep up with it. So we don't only follow it, we actually use it right away. So one of the things we do, for example,
I want to come back to this, but Frank, believe we remember Frank,
yeah,
is on the line and has a question.
Sure.
So are you on the line, Frank?
I am on the line.
Hi, Frank.
Hey.
Hi, Haya.
And just so people know, Frank's a friend of mine who has met Haya, so we all know each other.
You talked about, Haya, you talked about being able to look at somebody and seeing where they were spiritually stuck, like somebody who'd been abused when they were a child had certain characteristics. And you've met me. My problem is just the opposite. I'm not emaciated, and I would like to do something about that.
Okay, you
I'm
don't.
I'm fat.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So where would we go from to help correct that problem?
Well, what I would,
if I was seeing you?
Yeah, I would sit with you. I met you, but I didn't ask you many personal questions. It wasn't appropriate. Even though I often do, but I kind of refrain from it. I would look at some of your history. And the first thing I'm asking people to do, I usually ask people to do it before they come, and to write their medical history from their perspective. I don't care if it's accurate or not. What I want them to do, from as far as they can, if they know a story about their being in uterus all the way to now, to write everything they remember the way they think is important. I don't care if it's accurate or not. And that usually give me the biggest clue, looking at that piece. The person somehow picks the right pieces for me to know that are really significant. And also, there are certain patterns that are there. So I look at digestive, like in your case, I look at digestive condition and history. I will look to see if you had early childhood infections, if you use antibiotics. I would look to see certain blood tests, including particular some genetic testing we're doing now that can have impact both on mental status and cardiovascular status. And look at deficiencies. Certain deficiencies cause imbalances that express themselves in what looks like a disease, but the disease is a symptom almost. It's a result. It's not the cause. So I would look into a comprehensive blood test. And often, in your case, for example, I look into thyroid and I look into stress. And so there's an evaluation of adrenal functions and see where it is, because that can mess up your whole system. It messes up your sugar metabolism. It messes up a lot of things. And from there, while I'm talking to you, which we haven't done on that level, although I picked up some things, but we'll talk about it in person next time around.
Yeah, well, I'm coming up in October, and so...
Right, but then we have a chance...
I'll come see you professionally.
Yeah, and we can talk about, and if you connect with me beforehand,
yes.
I can tell you what blood tests you can do with locally, wherever you are.
Oh, okay.
So you can come up with the results and skip it a step.
That'd be a good idea. Okay.
So just
meanwhile, I'll start writing my medical history.
Yeah, but the way you remember it.
So yes, I got it.
I have to tell you a story. Once I worked with a person that was referred by somebody, and he came to me with a paper that was probably 6 or 7 feet long. It's like it was like a scroll with all the things that ever happened to me. And he started to read it to me in tiny little perfect handwriting. So after a few minutes, I stopped him and I say, it doesn't matter. Tell me, I asked him other questions. Because obviously he was very obsessive compulsive and this information wasn't helpful. You know, you get lost in details. Something else was going on. And talking for 5 minutes, I said, well, do you believe in past life? And he looked at me and he was involved in some spiritual group He was a white man, a musician, involved with a black spiritual group that didn't believe in reincarnation. So I asked him if it's okay for me to check with somebody that I know that could tell me, give me some information about his past life. He said it's okay, but he was really didn't go for it. Because in my opinion, his symptoms had nothing to do with what's going on with his current situation. Well, I got a letter from him, extremely, extremely upset. How I didn't sit down and listen to all the detailed information he had. And in my mind, it was his problem. So don't need to get the details. I need to get what you think is important.
Gotcha.
That's the bottom line.
Thanks, Aya. Thanks, yep. David.
Thanks for calling in, Frank.
You betcha. Bye for now.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Well, that was a perfect example. We were going to go with cholesterol, but, you know, you gave the perfect description of how you work and how it would work for people. I know when you did a workup on me, we looked at some of those same issues, thyroid, adrenal function, some of those same tests. Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with that, and we got great results. So I'm one of your test cases.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about you. And your
no, but, you know, I'm just saying that I'm personally familiar with your work, and we got good results. So
yeah, one of the things I really like to do, and that's both on the healing level, but also when I work with people on more on a spiritual level, is to really empower people to do their own work. And I try in the first session, because they know they may decide never to come back, which is okay with me, to give them the tools to understand how to ask the questions if they go to anybody else. So they know what to ask, what to look into, and how to try to figure it out.
So you give them enough information that they're asking different questions than they would have
exactly.
before they talk to you.
Yeah, for example, I make a big deal so they understand the brain-gut connection, to understand if they're depressed or anxious. It may have nothing to do with psychological reasons, but may have to do with gut condition. There's certain deficiencies. You know, I one of the group I used to work with a lot is homeschooling teenagers. They just couldn't handle school, although they're very bright. And usually the story was that they had some deficiencies, a very simple one, and as soon as they got it, they were just fine in school. So things like that, you know, I try to teach them, and I say, you don't need to come to me every time it happens, but here's the connection. I explain to them how nutrients work with the body or the brain, not in a medical way, but just, you know, we have a very elaborate system on the physical level, and a lot of chemicals that have a lot of pathways, and the interferon. I'll give you an example. One of the biggest problems in Massachusetts, and probably in some other states, is Lyme. And chronic Lyme cause all kinds of weird conditions, all the way from brain fog, autism, to heart failure, and so forth. And people come. The first thing I do in these situations, I look into it and rule it out, because if that's the case, there's no point doing anything else. So once you do that. I looked into the Lyme activity in the body, which messes up a lot of different pathways, Rola.
Right.
And
what you're talking about is Lyme disease.
Yeah. So you have to fix the pathways distortions in addition to treat the Lyme. So to treat the Lyme, I send them to a lot of different options. So I sit down with them and give them all the options they have, and they have to choose, including some very alternative ones and some very conventional ones. But my job is to work on the pathways that are interrupted by the life to strengthen the body and bring them back to strength so they can deal with whatever going on.
Right, right. Well, this has been wonderful. I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you if they're interested in working with you. So how would people do that?
Wait, they call the following number, 413-256-4938, which is my professional number, and leave a message if I don't pick it up, and say the name and the number slowly and clearly, and I get back to them, and we take it from there.
Terrific. Give that number again.
413-256-4938.
Fantastic. And you're in Hadley, Massachusetts. If people go to the Empower Radio website on the page for Hiya's interview, which will be available in about 20 minutes, half an hour, and will be available for listening 24/7, her phone number will be on the website. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a great hour. And I hope we can do this again. And I want to tell people how to get in touch with me. If you're interested in my work or you have questions, you can go to househealing.com, househealing.com. Hiding cleverly on the contact page is my email address, phone number, a scheduling link for setting up a phone appointment with me, and all manner of other ways to get in touch with me. Next week's guest is really a fascinating person. Her name is Lisa Campion, and she's a healer, a psychic, and teaches at a three-year education program for healers in Medway, Massachusetts. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Lisa. She's got a lot of fantastic information, and I hope you will join us then. So one of the things I want to leave you with is, what are the things in your life, getting back to our metaphysical musing, what are the things in your life that are your flat earth? What are the things that you look at and go, oh, that can't possibly be true? No, that's not real. And why do you do that? And how would your life change if you actually took a look at those things and really made an evaluation for yourself about whether they're real or not? You know, Hiya is talking about things which are very unusual for most people. I'm talking about things that are very unusual for most people. And your life would be very different if you opened up to this much broader range of possibilities. And it's really about possibilities, and that's what the show is about. All these possibilities, all these people's lives, all their paths, all their challenges, how they got here, what's going on. Because we're all going down that path. Every one of us is on the healer's path. Most people just don't know it. And the challenges in your life are there so that you can learn things and so your eyes can be open to new possibilities. So, again, I want to thank Hiya so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and join us. And we will be back next week, same time, same place, for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here on Empower Radio. Have a good night, folks.